passionate about God, passionate about people. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
I'm so delighted we're talking money matters right here, and the queen is in the house. Let me welcome her in studio with me. How are you, my queen?
I'm fantastic, Swangile. How are you?
You don't sound fantastic. Are you sure you're fantastic?
Swangile.
I know, that says it all. You are fantastic.
I mean, in the new, you know, studio. Refurbished studio, and yeah, it's looking amazing. So I am good.
Welcome, my sis.
Thank you, my sister.
Today we're talking about money. You know, I was sharing earlier, and I don't know if you were tuned in, if you were able to hear. I was like saddened by what I saw happening. I was just sharing with my colleagues here. We won't get into details of what they say they do there. Mm-hmm. But seeing our girls going to Dubai to get money, to make money, trying to make some living, you know, trying to make some living. But the horrendous things they are made to do there,
sure,
just to get money. Mm. And I'm like, this is not God's way. At the end of the day, you find they need psychologists, they need counseling, someone to take their lives, because they never knew they would be doing such things,
sure,
just to get money, to put food on the table.
Sure.
And coming back to your country, and you should be proud that you're rich, but they don't find peace in that money anymore, because of how it came about.
Exactly.
And so today we're talking about our relationship with money.
Yep.
And I'm hoping that as we speak, nobody would be led to, you know, go find money in other ways that are dangerous. This other woman says, this other young, beautiful model, she says, after I've done what I have done, I wish I had started it with humble beginnings. You know, trusting God to guide me and lead me with my dreams. I would get there at the end. And she says, I'm encouraging others to take your time with God, to trust Him,
true,
to guide you.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure, Swangile. I'll have to catch up on the story to get full details, but
we're just not going to go. Yeah. But it's sad.
It's very sad.
And so that's why today we are talking about our relationship with money.
Yeah, boy.
By God's design.
Mm-hmm.
We should have a good relationship with money. Some of us don't.
We should.
We are compulsive buyers and spenders. And yeah, somebody said, yo, my money and I always have a one-night stand. And this was a man. Yeah. He says, it comes in today, tomorrow it's gone. It's finished.
Yeah.
So what is God's design for us when it comes to our relationship with money?
Okay. Money, hey? It's a very sensitive matter. A matter that sometimes is not seen as anything related to God or anything godly. And so with our topic today, I've written down on about seven, you know, pillars, if you may call them, which we are going to discuss in this few minutes that we have on, you know, our relationship with money by God's design.
Yeah.
First of all, if we can go into it, allow me to. One needs to know that humble beginnings is not a bad thing. It is not something that you should skip and go the highway. It's very important to build on a good foundation, a foundation that will last long, a foundation that will carry you at any level, at any point. And a foundation that you can always know that you are firmly, firmly anchored in. And so that foundation is really our God. So first of all, I'd like us to look at the analysis, taking stock of our belief system. What do we believe about money? Or what do we believe about, you know, wealth as Christians?
Yeah. Most of the times when you listen to church folks, you hear it is sin. to have money. It is wrong yeah. to have money.
Mm-hmm.
And we advocate for poverty
yes.
In many churches. Mm-hmm. There's an advocacy for poverty to say mm. no. It's God humbling you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have to suffer. You have to suffer.
And
but yet, I always ask myself, and I said this to the family yesterday. I said, I asked myself a question. Then why would the Lord say money answereth all things?
Mm.
If then we should be poor and suffer as Christians.
Exactly. And I think that's what should happen when we first take stock. We need to know that our core beliefs about finances, and I mean such spaces that seem to be advocating for poverty, to say if you're poor then you're closer to God, and if you have money or you have more resources in abundance then you do not know God. Of course we have people like that who worship their money and their possessions.
Yeah.
But we also have people that are doing well and still doing well in relating to God.
Mm.
And we see God through them and in them and around them.
Yeah.
And so when we take stock, we need to know that our core belief system really dictates how we earn, how we spend, how we save, how we share our resources.
Mm.
And if that, you know, that source or that core belief is God, and the belief is anchored in the scriptures,
mm.
in the Bible, then we will know that this is our compass.
Mm.
And so if we believe that God is a God of abundance, He's the one who gives us, then we will know that it's not wrong
yeah.
to have money.
Yeah.
But maybe we can say, or rather, we can absolutely say it is wrong to worship money.
Yeah.
The one to worship is the one who brought it to us.
Mm.
And I don't know if I can give a scripture reference to that.
Yes.
For people who have, you know, I have a few examples of negative beliefs about money. These may include, like I've already said, wealthy people are ungodly.
Mm.
If that's your belief, once it's anchored and embedded in you, you will never have money loving you or happening, or resources to, you know, build the house of God with. If you have a belief that abundance, when it's in your life, you will not be able to fit in. People will envy you. Money is going to change you.
Mm.
You will not be happy.
Mm.
You will not have a relationship with God. These are all negative money beliefs.
Mm. Mm.
And so we need to look at one scripture because of time. I've got three, but I'll share one on this first pillar.
No, we can, let's take our time and share everything.
Okay.
Because we really want to be empowered money-wise. Yes.
When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 8:18,
mm-hmm.
and I have referenced all my scripture referrals to the Holy Bible New International Version 2001, published by Zondervan, USA.
Yeah.
It's chapter 8, verse 18. It says, "But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth
yep.
and so confirms His covenant,
mm.
which He swore to your ancestors as it is today."
Sure.
So God loves wealth. He loves us when we prosper.
Mm.
He loves us when we have that abundance. He has given us. He gives us. It's a gift.
Yeah.
When somebody gives you a gift, He expects you to take it up, run with it, and excel.
Mm.
And it further says He gives you the ability. That this means God has enabled us
mm.
to do these things.
Mm.
And so He knows when we are in Him, He is in us.
Yeah.
And so the money that He enables into our hands is from Him.
Yeah.
And should be centered around Him.
Hmm.
And then we have Deuteronomy 6,
mm-hmm.
10 to 13. It says, "When the Lord," this is a bit long, "when the Lord your God brings you into the land He swore to your fathers."
Hmm.
You see, God, at chapter 8, He confirms His covenant.
Hmm.
God makes His swears. He even swore to our fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide,
yeah.
wells you did not dig,
yeah.
and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant.
Mm.
Then when you eat and are satisfied, The only thing that we need to remember when we have money or wealth is to be careful that we do not forget the Lord who brought us out of Egypt. What is our Egypt? God brought you out of unemployment.
Yeah.
God brought you out of poverty. God brought your church out of, you know, a fellowshipping under a tree. Do not forget. The only thing is never to forget. The problem is we forget. And then we start saying other things. And then we start calling it prosperity preaching. And then we start saying prosperity is wrong. What is wrong is when we first of all do not analyze our belief system. We do not know our source. And we do not stay anchored into our source.
So the challenge here that we mostly have is that we do not know who our source is, right?
No, we don't. We think we are the source.
We are self-sufficient.
Yes.
Sure.
And so James chapter 1,
okay,
verses 14 to 15, again NIV, it says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, these words are so rich, gives birth to death. And we're not talking death as in the cemetery. We're talking death as in our relationship with God. Because when this wealth or this God that brought us out of Egypt has been forgotten, and we begin to see ourselves as the Alpha and the Omega of our wealth, we begin to worship it. And so we begin to do evil things.
Sure.
Maybe we buy intimacy elsewhere. And so when we buy it, we're spending on that wrong intimacy. Maybe we buy people drinks wherever we arrive and say, guys, what do you drink? And we're buying rounds and rounds of drinks. We do not know, and we're enticed, and we have this populist, you know, syndrome eating us away. And that is when the death comes in. And maybe that's why non-believers and some of the believers believe that money, having money, is wrong.
Yeah.
Because maybe they have seen this breed of people. And so the sin has overgrown so much in those people that the onlookers or fellow believers in church begin to despise doing well.
Even others treating God's people in a disrespective manner, because I got it all. And so looking at others as if you are so dirty, you you know, I've heard of somebody who is sharing very close to me, and this was in the old days, and this family was doing well, and their family was still struggling there and there, and she says one of the women asked her mom and said, "But what kind of a God are you praying to? Look at us. Look at you. Look at what you're wearing."
Sure.
And that also makes others to despise having had the wealth that is coming from the Lord.
Exactly. Sure. Exactly. So, yes, I think when we, upon reflection on this first element, I don't want to move too fast, but I also don't want to not do all the elements.
I want us to do all the elements if it's possible.
We are going to do it.
All right. Let me quickly read some of the messages that came through right now, and then we take a break and come back to talk to you some more, my queen. Apostle James is giving us the book of Proverbs 13, verses 1. I'm going to quickly run there. The book of Proverbs 13.
Is it verses 11?
Yes, it is verses 11. 13 verses 11. And it says, so that I can read it, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. Exactly. Do not despise the small beginnings.
The exactly humble beginnings that we exactly were talking about. Yes.
And he says, this is a powerful subject. The honest truth is that money is a spirit. Yeah. And he continues to say, poverty is sin, not being poor, but poverty is sin.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Apostle James, there, sharing with us. And family, do know that you can talk to us. The lines are open for you on 012-334-1322. It's 012-334-1322. You can talk to us on that line. Okay, Koli is giving us the book of Zechariah 4, verses 10.
Mm-hmm.
Which says, "For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Mm-hmm. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." Mm-hmm. Wow! Thank you so much, family, for sharing those scriptures with us. Exactly what we are talking about. Exactly. Where we are.
Aligned
with the word. Alrighty then, let's take a break and come back with you, my queen.
This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
We're sitting on 10 minutes just before 1 on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. We gave you the sounds of Richard Smallwood and the Smallwood Singers. The God of promise, he's the one who gives us the power to get wealth. That is one of the promises that he gives us. If we are in him, then he's the one who will give us the power to get wealth. The world has its own ways of doing things, but we have our way, and always the best way, because God's ways are the best. You know, you can live by his design all the time. We're talking about our relationship with money by God's design with my queen, Sister Jennifer Mani. And yes, we are looking at the seven pillars that are there to help us to do things God's way. And so we were still on the first one, my queen. Can we run to the next one?
Yes, please. And before we do that, I'd like us to reflect. With every pillar, we'll reflect.
Okay.
Rhetorical questions that people can answer on their own and reflect on.
Mm.
Which of the, you know, the negative beliefs about money do you hold as a person?
Yeah.
How is it impacting your financial life?
Mm.
And lastly, does God, the word of God, agree with you?
There are others who feel, "I'm not worthy."
Mm.
It has nothing to do with God, no religion, no church, nothing. But, I'm not worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If there's one thing that my mom once shared with me, of a lady whom a friend got, the friend was sick, and then the friend was like, "Okay, can I have you go work for my boss whilst I'm sick? And then you will be paid, and once I'm healed, I can come back." Although the other lady was like, "Okay, fine." And then comes payday, and the boss gives her, I think it was 5,000 rands, and then she says it's too much to the boss. And the lady's like, "Okay, 4,000, it's still way too much."
Sure. Yeah.
And then the boss takes her again, until she was left with, I think, 1,000. And the other one, when she came back, she was like really angry at her, because now you've messed up for me.
Mm.
It's 5,000. You should have taken the 5,000.
Exactly.
No, you've messed up things for me. But because the other one felt, "I'm not worthy to receive such," which is like really sad.
Yeah.
What does God say about such? Of us who are afraid to even, get what we have been given. Is there anything on the word about that?
The word for that is what we have shared at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. We must know that God enables us to produce wealth.
Mm.
That person might have stood in, for someone, and now they feel they're not worthy. The fact that at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God said, "Let us create man in our likeness, in our image." That very fact, as a Christian, you need to know that you are a co-creator. So what God says you deserve, you deserve. So it's a question of, self-worth.
Mm.
How do you see yourself? That woman who said it's too much is an indicator of her having one of the negative self-beliefs. And there are lots. And one of them that I didn't mention is what you're mentioning now. If you don't believe that you are worth something, you won't be able to receive it. You will sabotage your way in it.
Sure. Yeah. May the Lord help us.
Yeah.
May the Lord help us. So what is the second one?
The second one is to take the right responsibility. We need to learn to take the correct responsibility. No is godly. Today we need to know that denial of certain things is godly. When we assume responsibilities for the shortcomings, erroneous judgment, irresponsible actions, and financial problems of other people, we are also not doing, always doing the right thing. It is not godly to serve with emotional prison confinements, where you are always the 911, where you are rescuing people from things.
Ace.
You have.
You are a surety.
Yes. You are insurance. You are then. You are an ambulance.
You are a bank.
You are everything.
Yeah, we know we can come to you.
You know what? They even call you my funder.
Ha. Huh?
And this morning,
they even go to that extent.
Yes, I've experienced that. Where somebody used to, you know, you with this topic.
Yeah.
When you are rescuing people and helping, it is usually people that are naturally giving. And this morning, I just shot a small video to you know, encourage people to listen to the slot. And I said, it's an amazing topic and it's personal to me. It's amazing how God makes us teach others things that we have experienced, you know. And I love how the Holy Spirit works. Naturally, I'm a giving person. And you think God wants us to give. You know, freely we've been given, freely we shall give.
Yeah.
But you do not realize that sometimes we take wrongful responsibility. It is okay to say, I cannot be of assistance right now, because God wants us to do that.
So sometimes you might be enabling the behavior without even knowing.
Exactly. Because
the dependency thing to
you are trying to be a good Christian. Especially when you are maybe like me in ministry, or you are in a certain position at work, or in your family, you are this one doing work that is in the limelight. You don't want people to say negative things. You want to know that you are there for others. And with me, it wasn't a problem, because if I have it, why not? It's only a problem if I know I don't have it. But this one guy, one time when he came to me, I used to help him, you know, and I never used to say, bring it back. If he pays back, it's fine. If he didn't, I didn't have a problem. And one day he said to me, hey, my funder, I need $1,000. It's a true story. It dawned on me that day that my value in his life
ATM.
Right. He is using me. I'm a vehicle to, you know, financing dates with his girlfriends.
Goodness.
Because he used to have different women in his life. I only woke up then to realize that I'm actually
financing wrong things. Yeah.
Exactly. And we need to know that just because we have the ability to do something, it doesn't mean that God is calling us to do it. And how do we know that we are not called to step in? It is when we begin to find ourselves within what we call emotional prison confinements. This helping people starts hurting you. You start arguing with people. I mean, in churches, I am in a church, you know, just like everyone. You know, when you give, and an incident came through where there was now an argument, sin will prevail on my side. Because when an argument erupts based on my giving on certain things, you know, somebody will just come and make you feel like, you know, but it was a red flag and a wake-up call for me to say, maybe I need to take stock of whether God is inciting me to do certain things or not. So we need to inquire from God. I mean, you have people that come to you and say, my child doesn't have money for school. only to find that they're not telling the truth. So when arguments and things start happening,
yeah,
that's when we need to check.
Okay, we're coming back again with you. Lord help us. Yeah, this is serious, guys.
Plug in, feel the pulse on Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
We came out with the sounds of Duba, Pastor Duba Mpekeka, Lintswe, taking us back to church. And yes, we're sitting on 12 minutes just after 1 right here on 657 AM. I guess me alien, my family, I guess met my queen again, my queen, Tidi. And we are learning about our relationship with God, with money by God's design. And we were looking at the second point, which we got seven, pillars, but we were on the second pillar, which says take the right or correct responsibility, because sometimes we're thinking that we are helping and we are enabling bad behavior on others. Now they become dependent on us and not even on God. Let me quickly run through the messages and come back to you, Sis City. Apostle comes back again, Apostle James Sawa in London, in England, and he says, what you believe is the very thing that affects your life. And he says, we were created to be producers, not consumers. Our buildings are full of consumers. Okay, like in churches, I believe, we have become consumers and not producers. Ish, Lord help us. And again, as a producer, we take the responsible and correct measures. Make sure you're not enabling bad behavior on others. Now they're depending on you, my fund. With James Ferdinand Fazil says, we must remember what Paul said. Philippians 4 verses 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. So the secret to be content is if you have enough, don't look down on others. And if you lack, don't envy, but rather trust God. Wow. Wow, thank you so much for that, Obud. We still have time for you to can send in your messages on our WhatsApp Telegram line 0826572729, our SMS line 37871. Our line is also opened for family members who desire to talk to us live in studio 0123341322. Zaire Khan, hello to you, saying SA greeting us. I wonder where are you greeting us from, Zaire? But thank you so much for tuning in and joining us right here on Heart to Heart on a Radio Pulpit. We are in South Africa. Yes, we are in SA. So thank you so much for joining in and being with us. My queen, I heard a mother who said, you know, sometimes as a mother, we also falter. We make our children depend on us. Yeah, and so your child would come, Mom, 50 rand, I give. Mom, I need 6,000, you give. Mom. And now, whenever they have, you have become their bank and their source and everything. How do you do it as a mom? As a parent, you know? When your children need help and they know mom has that 6,000, she will give it, you know? There are other mothers who even get into debt for their children.
True.
So how do you make it right that at the end of the day, you have also became a good steward and a good teacher and a good, you have a good, you know, you're doing it by God's design and that you're not enabling your children to even depend on you as a mother, as a father?
I think with the home front, it has been, you know, I've been faring quite well with that. Simply because of maybe how, you know, the teachings from my mother.
Yeah.
She's quite a generous woman. We grew up with a generous mother, you know. We didn't lack things that were important. But she also taught us, you know, my mother loved clothes. I had parents, both parents who loved clothes, who loved looking good, who loved getting nice things. But they knew, and most mostly my mother, because we spent more of our lives with her than with both of them. She had that balance of teaching us things that, you know, how to spend wisely.
Yeah.
And not be stingy and say, I'm not going to get a couch, we're going to sit on the floor. But she also taught us, you know, effective ways of spending. And she didn't just say it, she practiced it. We knew that there was a no. I remember there was an era where there was this shoe, Bass. They used to call it Bass. There was Bass with some tassels, and then the leather one you put on, you know, polish. And there was Bass that looked more casual.
Oh, okay.
And we had to stand in a queue, in inverted commas, for the Bass. But eventually, we never got the Bass. Because she then realized that it's those shoes that had to do with being cool and being an expensive kid. So she, it was a painful moment because we couldn't have the Bass. Only my one sister got it because then she was working, so she bought herself that. So that, those kinds of teachings, I think they rubbed off me naturally. The only struggle I have, and still learning to, you know, to work with.
Yeah.
And hence I'm teaching and being taught myself.
Yeah.
Is the no to others.
Heish.
But to my children, they know. There is stuff that we do, and there is a no.
Yeah. I love you, Mom. And so it means that one needs to learn and teach your children. I mean, like, there's so many things that we say no to our children for, you know. But why do we? Why does it become hard when it gets to money? And some of us believe, we have been led to believe that mom is able, or dad is able, to can do move mountains for us. And so we even now turn our eyes from the Lord, but look into our moms, because this is something that we have learned when we were young, that moms and dads are kings. They can do anything. They can
anything.
And so we have to unlearn that as well, and also teach our children the right ways, that those of us who have children who are still growing up. I remember my mom would sit us down and take out her salary advice and say,
yes,
this is what I have.
That's my mom.
Yeah. and this is what I can afford. And you are in school. I'm paying for your school fees. You need clothes at school. You need food. So this is all that I can do right now. And you would be disciplined to know, I can't get that trouser. I can't get that. And so we learned. And I think parents sometimes need to be that honest with their children as well.
We need to. I think that, you know, as we, I think we're about to conclude on this one.
Yeah.
I think we need to realize that and acknowledge that it is quite scary to say no.
It is.
And there's a level of fear of rejection.
Yeah.
And, you know, you feel like you're going to be alienated. And you can see the kids are not happy with you. Suddenly people are not talking in the house. I think as human beings, we are not comfortable with tension. And I think parents, too, are not comfortable. I think leaders, too, are not comfortable with saying no to anything, because people around you behave differently when you have said no than when you have said yes. But what we need to know is that when we take up false responsibility, it impacts negatively on our finances. Not only that, on our work life. Not only that, on our health. Not only that, on our relationships. On our leadership positions. On our management positions. So we have to say no with discussion, with explanation, with love. And so the following can help us to manage this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. For God did not give us the spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. It is powerful to say no. A spirit of love. You love people when you say no. And you will see the long-term effects of it. And self-discipline. To be able to say, this kind of help that you need, this one I should redirect to a more sustainable avenue. I'm not your sustainable avenue. If I'm going to contribute to a church until I don't have anything to eat, I don't think it's godly. You are you can redirect. You can tell people. Recently, I told some of the women, girls in our church, they can go to a certain retail store and request their donations to be able to feed a certain organization.
Mm.
Because as individuals, we are unable to give effectively towards that.
Mm.
That's redirecting and saying no, but it's a good no. It's a no with redirection.
Mm.
And in that moment, we are able to save our relationship as, as a congregation.
Yeah.
There is no fighting about, but I've been giving for all these years. Now I'm tired. Mm. Because then sin starts to take place when you are giving from an empty cup.
Some have been cut off from church because they stopped giving.
Mm.
And the church doesn't even check what are the challenges that you're facing now. Why can't you give? Because every month they know that you will give 5,000.
The source of 2,000. Our provision. I'm a firm believer that God provides everything. Mm. He provides leads.
Mm.
Excuse me, he provides, opportunities and stuff. He even provides the jobs and the money. Silver and gold are his. But at the same time, the very same provider of the silver and gold knows your needs, your earthly needs. He knows that he has put you on earth.
Mm.
You need to pay your university fees for your children. I don't think God expects you to say to your child, leave school for this term because I'm giving in church.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No. No.
I do not think so.
If the Bible would say then that he who doesn't feed his family is more than a hypocrite, then I expect that God expects that of
us. You are being seen. You are doing a show off because your own are going hungry. Your own are not being properly educated because your populist nature needs to be fed. It's all ego.
Ish. Okay, Shalom J writes to us, blessings, Sibongile and family. I simply taught my children from small that I'm a person before I became their father's wife and their mother.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that in all aspects of life, they have to become their own person with their own set of values that works for them. They have to fend for themselves and think for themselves. When it comes to finances, I was always open and included them in the budget. So they knew what was going on. Thank you, Shalom J. Thank you, Shalom J, for that. And I think this is something that most parents need to learn. It doesn't matter how old the children are and
openness.
How. Yeah, and looking into what we've been going through, my queen, for these 2 years, some jobs have been affected.
Mm.
Some have lost their jobs completely, or their salaries have been cut. Till this year, they haven't recovered, and some made loans as a result, and you're still paying those loans up. And so we really need to be learning these things.
Mm.
Oh, with James Ferdinand Van Zyl says, I love this point. Thank you, my sister. Family comes first.
Hallelujah. Can we do a scripture referral?
Let's do that.
Can I ask...
I'm not happy that we are concluding for today.
Suddenly the time is very short. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 to 5, mm-hmm. amongst other, many other scripture referrals mm-hmm. that we could be having.
Galatians 6,
verse 2
mm-hmm.
up to 5.
All right, let's see that.
NIV, it says, carry each other's burdens.
Mm.
It doesn't stop there. And in this way, you'll fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. I think we are talking to the guy that said he taught his children.
Oh, it's Jacqueline.
That,
it's Shalom J.
Oh, is it a woman?
Yeah.
Yes. So, this, when we read these verses in this holy book, we need, sometimes people stop at the verses that suit their mandate at that time.
Yeah.
Someone will say, the Lord says, carry each other's burdens and stop there.
Yeah.
But now this scripture further goes and says, we must test our actions. Mm-hmm. We must not find ourselves deceiving ourselves and assuming roles that are not ours.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we carry the load could also be redirecting people to the right spaces.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow, my queen, thank you so much for today, the lessons that we had. I know time is not on our side, but we thank God that we are eating this elephant piece by piece. We will get there. And so I'm not going to ask you to even pray for the body of Christ in this regard today. I think at the end of it all that we will pray. But for family members seeking to talk to you directly, how do they reach you?
I'm still using 071 375-9065. From that number, we can be able, you know, to explore other communication methods.
I love the fact that you're not only teaching us here on air, but you do have workshops where you're teaching on such.
Yes.
Sure.
I do.
Do you have anything happening very near?
Yes, actually we do. It's on the 28th of May.
Okay, we will be talking about that very soon. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
We are being equipped. We thank God for this time and for learning about our relationship with money. God has a purpose with you and your relationship with money. Let's not disappoint as we are learning. Hey, Morena, help us. And help us not to enable wrong behaviors on others because of how we have become now their source. Thank you so much, my queen. May God richly and awesomely bless you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
She will be coming back. When did we say? Next week? Somewhere next week.
We shall confirm our next week. We shall confirm our next week, but we'd love to finish this.
We have to. We have to. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Passionate about God, passionate about people. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.